Our recent pastoral letter speaks, among other things, about being anxious during this time of uncertainty and sharing that anxiety so we don't bottle it up. One of the things I've been doing for the past few weeks is reading a poem a week from a collection, rereading the poem each day, and then getting out my colouring pencils to produce a picture that the poem inspires in me. One of the poems was Rumi's The Guest House, in which he tells his readers not to close the door on negative or uncomfortable feelings, but to welcome in each feeling that comes and see what it has to teach them. This was echoed in a recent thought for the day I read that also told us not to suppress negative feelings, but to examine them and wonder what God would want to say to us through them. I realise that one of the negative thoughts that I often push down is anxiety. As I mulled this over, I thought of Psalm 139. When I looked it up, I realised that verse 25 in the New Revised Standard Version reads, "Test me and know my thoughts." I was more familiar with the New International Version's translation, which says, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." I wonder why the word anxious has been omitted from the New Revised Standard Version. My thoughts are often anxious, especially at this time when life is so strange. Am I doing the right things to keep me and Stephen safe? Should I be doing more to help others, putting myself in danger for the sake of others in greater need? Am I filling my time so that the circuit is getting its money's worth out of me? Am I taking enough time off so that Stephen doesn't just get the rag ends of my days and my energy? Am I getting enough exercise and doing the right things for my back and my future health? Am I using my time off wisely? And what do I have to show for it? Am I raising the profile of spirituality in the circuit? Or am I too busy with other things? Am I helping others to find their gifts and support our work together? Am I taking advantage of people's willingness when I delegate? And should I do more myself? How is this time affecting the mental health of Stephen's and my mother's, one in a care home and one living alone? Is my mental health suffering? Am I too anxious about things? And where do I take my anxiety? Do I worry too much? Didn't Jesus say, "Do not worry"? Am I guilty of wrongdoing when I'm anxious, which leads to greater anxiety? I could go on, but I'm sure you get the picture and it will look quite familiar to those of you who also worry. But why would I share such thoughts instead of saying something encouraging? Well, first of all, to be open about anxiety. Because often those who feel anxious think that everyone else has got life sorted and has no need to worry. They feel alone in their anxiety and see it as a weakness, something they shouldn't mention. Yet there's no one who doesn't worry at some time. And sometimes the most confident looking people are those who just cover up their anxiety best. So if you see me at the front of church, leading worship or chairing meetings, I might look pretty confident, but there's often a lot of stuff going on under the surface. And it's the same for most people. In fact, most of the people God called in the Bible were pretty anxious about taking on their task. Sarah thought she was too old. Moses thought he didn't speak clearly enough. Isaiah thought he was too sinful. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Mary wondered about the practical side of things. Paul thought he would be excluded because he'd opposed the gospel at first. I can push my anxiety down, tell myself I'm ridiculous and get on with life. Or I can accept my anxiety, take it to God, asking for his help to live with this familiar feeling. I can ask myself how I would support another person who was anxious and learn from that how to better support myself. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." If I take my anxiety to God, it becomes prayer. If I talk to God about it and open myself up to listening to him, I will remember how he has helped me in the past, and I can give thanks for those times and gain some relief from what I'm worrying about right now. The next verse in Philippians says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When I take my worries to God, his peace guards my heart and mind and does not allow it to be taken over by my worries. I can find my way into the peace that he gives and find strength to cope with what is coming. As I said at the beginning, I can get out the colouring pencils and take time to draw and reflect, not telling myself off for wasting time, but realising how this time in the mornings supports my work during the day and feeds into it. But there was also another suggestion made in the pastoral letter. That was to share your anxieties not only with God, but with a trusted pastoral visitor, friend, neighbour, or minister. When two pray together, our prayers are strengthened. And the person you share with, simply by being outside your situation, might be able to see if you need to speak to a doctor and get some more in-depth help in what you are going through. We will get through this time, not by being super strong and never worrying, but by being together. God bless.